December 18, 1989. Nami Nakashima Diaz, interviewed by Kay Briegel at her home.
Where were you born?
I was born in Long Beach. I've been a native here all of my life. Born 1916. Right on 3rd and M, where the post office is. I was born in the alley there in early Long Beach. There was a lot of little houses, small little narrow houses facing alleys, and that many years ago. And I was born in there, one of the homes in there. And I guess we lived downtown Long Beach for a couple of years because my mother and father had what they call an ice cream parlor in down on the pike, right next to the Rialto Theater. I don't remember. Isn't that funny? I just think my mother just told me, but never thought. They just call it an ice cream parlor, you know, and it was close to where they made the saltwater taffy and all that stuff. But then after World War II, there was no sugar, and there weren't supplies to keep a shop like that going because they used to make the candy, too, and stuff in it. Gels and things that they sold along with the root beer and ice cream. So she said they just sort of went broke. There was just no sugar to be had. And so they moved up to Signal Hill, and they started farming up there, and they raised the cantaloupe, cucumbers, and that's all I remember what they were told me, cantaloupe and cucumbers. And then I don't know how long they were up there, but it must have been a few years because I started to school from Signal Hill.
Japanese people around, you think that's why they moved to Signal Hill?
Yes, I think because that was, there were open fields there and they could farm. Because the Japanese, that's mainly all they did was just farm, truck farming they call it, because there just wasn't that much work really in Long Beach. Even when I was a teenager and a young woman, there wasn't that much work. And then, especially for minorities, it just wasn't that kind of work. I mean, you just, we couldn't, as a young teenager, I couldn't go to work at Cressis or anything because being a minority, it just wasn't done in those days. But anyway, getting back to Signal Hill, we lived up there until I went to school. I started Temple Avenue School, and I went there until I was in the kindergarten, the first grade. We started, and then we moved to the west side because oil, meanwhile, had been discovered up there. And I guess my folks had bought a small parcel of land, I think it had 50 feet up there that they bought. So they, when they started drilling, well, they after the discovery well, then they asked to drill over there. So that was the second well that came in. So then my father, I guess, well, they moved them because the derricks were coming up all over there. And there was, I remember, one big fire, just sort of in the back of my mind, it was a huge, if these wells would catch fire, you know, because they didn't know too much about drilling. It was just sort of a, I guess, I don't know, they were just trying things out, different ways of drilling. And I remember all the steam pipes and everything they had, just jillions of pipes running all throughout Signal Hill. And we used to burn our feet on those steam pipes because we didn't know the difference between the steam pipes and the other pipes, and they weren't labeled. I couldn't read anyway, but my brothers and sisters, we used to run around because it was just a great big open field aside from the oil wells in those days then. And then after we moved away from there, and by that time, let's see, there were five. My mother had five children by then, so we moved to the west side, and they were all, that was all truck farming there. And I was 6 years old, and then we were enrolled at Garfield School, a little country school out there. And we lived there for, I don't say, the rest of my life, but I went to school for 2 years. My mother sent us into town to go to school at Edison Junior High School. And then from there I went to Poly High School. But things have changed here in Signal Hill. Well, a lot of times I'll just sort of think back and think back to the times we were playing. Our little house, we lived in a small little bungalow, and it was close to where the Hinshaw place was. And I can still remember that as we looked down, I think the street we lived on faced a little side street called Catalina. That might be in the area of about Hill Street or something like that, Burnett or Hill, one of those streets. Because the slope down to Cherry Avenue, that's about all I can remember. And we could kind of look down, and we used to call it the Hinshaw Mansion because it was a huge, big white building, and the little kid we thought was huge. And I remember they had parrots. She had a parrot that she used to put out sometime, and he used to sing. He would sing church songs, you know. He would sing it, and he used to like to listen to it. But I remember their house, and it has since been torn down because it kind of hurt to see that place gone be leveled, because they've got a great big condominium in there now, I think. But I just go by Cherry Avenue and often think, well, that's where I grew up as a little child, you know. But and then there was Bevers was Hall, Mr. Hall and Mr. Weber. They built two beautiful big homes there. Oh gosh, this was about before I was born, 1916. I guess about maybe the 1916, because when my father first moved up there, he used to help out Mr. Hall and Mr. Weber, I think doing gardening, yard work, until they, he was a gardener until they got their farm, you know. But I just remember a lot of wide open spaces. Now, there were also a lot of Mexican families living up there. It was, I guess, like a barrio, similar to when, as you go down West Willow Street to between Santa Fe and Pacific Avenue, that was all Mexican. It was like a Mexican town, a barrio. All Mexicans, and they used to work mainly for the Japanese farmers that were on the west side. But times have changed, you know.
Were there other crops growing around it?
Well, I know they had guava orchards, because I remember at night going with my dad to visit some of the other Japanese folks, and I think they worked on the orchards. And yes, they raised flowers. And I just, aside from cucumbers, cantaloupe, I think watermelon. Because those, it seemed like maybe vine, types of vine things grew well. Because I don't remember my folks ever seeing the goose celery or lettuce crops. I don't know. I just don't remember really enough.
Do you remember how they grew the cucumbers?
No. I don't know if they were under, sometimes, you know, they grow them under the little canvas canopies. But I don't really remember that, no. But I think cucumbers probably, it was probably protected there because, you know, there's a lot of sloping hills. There was a lot of them in those days. It was nice rounded hills in those days. You know, now it's all chopped up so badly because the oil companies have just mutilated the land, really, and haven't really done anything to clean it up. But I don't remember my mother ever saying they had to cover anything up. Now, I have an idea that they probably farmed on a slope where they didn't get the frost or something like that. Because I never heard her say that they had to go out there and cover up anything. But really, that's just a few things that I kind of remember.
How did things change when oil was discovered?
Oh, there was a great change, I guess. Some of the people, some of the Japanese, the one Japanese family, I know they owned, I think, about an acre, so they became instantly, I guess, practically millionaires. You know, they were very lucky because they happened to have quite a bit of land that they bought in their children's names. In those days, you see, the Japanese had to buy land in their children's name. But Shimizu was her name, Mr. Shimizu, because immediately they bought a home on the east side of Long Beach, a nice home, and I remember they had a maid. So they became instantly wealthy. My folks, they just had 50 feet, so there was one derrick that was put in, and I think later on they put another one. But they, in those days when they used to drill, they didn't really know, they weren't very skilled at it, I guess, and they would break the pipes. And after a few years, they broke the pipe, and there's no way to retrieve it. And they tried after that, but my mother and father's well never did much good after that because the pipe was broken. They had no way to get it out. Then they tried, I think, flasking in a shell. I think Richfield came in first, and I went in a shell. I never paid too much attention to that, but I just knew that it used to bring in a little income. At the beginning, quite a lot of income, because that's how my father got started in business. And then he started the commercial fertilizer business, because there was a wide open field, because all the farmers were truck farmers, and they were all Japanese. And they all had to use commercial fertilizer to get a good crop, you know. And so he went into that business, and he did very well until World War II. Then he had to go, you know, he was taken to camp along with the first businessman. Well, and he just lost the business overnight. And all the farmers, of course, lost everything, too. They just... So he never started up the business again, because by that time he was elderly. And there was, the Japanese never came back to any farming, because they were, some were afraid to come back. Some had gone back east or to the Midwest or someplace else, and they never came back. So there was no, really not any truck farming to speak of with the Japanese. No more, I guess.
Did your dad start his business in Signal Hill or on the west
side? No, on the west side. He had his warehouse in the city of Carson. But no, he started the business right there on the west side on Arlington Avenue, and he always had a warehouse there. And then when it expanded, then he bought, my mother bought 2 acres in Carson, and they put the larger warehouse, and they used to mix the fertilizer. They were mixed, like you buy the small package, you know, 10-10-10 or 10-5 something, but they mixed it in sacks because they sold by the ton. But... they were lucky that gave them the start for a little windfall. They started a business with it. Unfortunately, they weren't able to keep on with the business, you know, because they're there after the farmers left.
So, did your family decide to move then because they leased the land, or when you?
Because the oil. Well, because the oil wells were in there. They were leasing up all the land they could get, because the oil was, it was an instant overnight, you know, a success. They discovered oil.
And farmers
had to leave. They left them. A lot of them moved to the west side, and some, there was a lot of farming, you know, down around Torrance and Lomita, and some went to Dominguez Hills. It was all farming. That was all Dominguez Hills. There was nothing but farming. Then after they discovered some oil up there, too, you know. But they just scattered in different places. I understand, too, at the very top of Signal Hill, they used to have a pig farm up there. My father used to tell me that there, someone had land on the very top of the hill. I think Denny's. They had a bank down in Wilmington or something like that, the Denny family. But then, I don't know if the Japanese were leasing or something, the Denny family. It took control of that portion of the land. But these are things, that is something my dad just telling me things offhand sometimes, little things like that.
Did your dad belong to the Japanese Association on Signal Hill?
I think they did. They had what they call a tanimoshi. This was all the Japanese. You see, they had no way to borrow money to start their farming, just get seed and get stuff that they needed. And they formed their own little association. And it was nothing but their little banking. If Mr. Somebody needed a little money for seed and to get started for his seasonal planting, they all loaned him so much money, and he paid it back. And they used to meet at different homes. Now, I was too young. I don't remember their meeting there. But no doubt they did have meetings where they used to loan each other money, because otherwise they had no collateral. They had no place to borrow money from at all. But on the west side, when we lived in Wellington Street, I remember that about once a month they had a meeting there. And all the people who wanted to borrow or were going to loan money or something, I don't know exactly how they did it, but they must have had a little pool of money or something, and maybe they banked it somewhere. I don't really remember, because I don't even remember that they had Japanese banks like they do now, you know. I think they had a Yokohama Specie Bank up in Los Angeles. But that's the only name I really remember, because it seems to me like it did some business with the Yokohama Specie Bank. But that's the only bank. Otherwise, they borrowed from each other, and they call it Tanimoshi. And they were very honest about paying back, because I guess the Japanese in those days were, I suppose they still are basically pretty honest people, you know. And they are pretty good to return the money and all to help out like that. But then later on, my father, when he started doing business, he always banked with the Farmers and Merchants Bank. Mm-hmm, yeah, because when they were in business on the Pike, I think the Walker family still did all of that. They owned that bank probably just outright there on, was 3rd and Pine, the Walker family, because their place was there on 4th Street and, I think, Cedar or something, back where the Safeway Market is, because they had a beautiful home there. And he always, Mr. Walker used to be in the bank all the time. It was a country bank, the small town, they knew each other, and, you know, they were very friendly to go into a bank like that, and I guess my dad liked that. So he used to farm there, he used to bank with them. And then in Torrance, he banked at the Bank of America, in the old part of Torrance, because by that time he was doing business in Carson, too. But, I remember that first, Farmers and Merchants Bank. It was a very nice place.
Were your parents from Japan?
My father was from Japan. He came here as a young, went to Hawaii from Japan. He was about 14 when he left Japan to go to Hawaii because his parents didn't want him to enter that Russian-Japanese war. And all the Japanese folks that had young men scraped up all the money they could get, and they bought passage for the young men to go to Hawaii. And my father tells me that they would have a Western-style suit made for them, and they put the young man aboard the ship, sent him to Hawaii. And when they got to Hawaii, they expected them to work their way to the United States or stay there. Well, my father, and he had two friends he kept that are lifelong friends, and they came to the United States, and they always came in to San Francisco. And from there, they would go to some little station or a meeting place for Japanese people coming in. And they would send them out to different places where they were looking for workers. Sometimes they went to work as houseboys. Sometimes they went to work as farmhands, or a lot of orchard work, because it was mainly orchards here when I grew up around this area, and Long Beach, Santa Ana, Orange. They were just all orchards. There was a lot of work for them there. They went to work with a red car, cleaning the cars. My father, let's see, he stayed in San Francisco for a while, and then he came here to, he worked, I think, in the orchards. He went to work in Pasadena as a houseboy, but he couldn't speak English. And the lady told him to try to learn English. She was very kind to him and helped him. And she sent him someplace to try to learn a little English if he wanted to work as a houseboy, because he had to understand what they wanted. Well, then she found him a job after he did an awful lot of other kinds of jobs. I think she did find him a job at the red car station, because he speaks of cleaning red cars and stuff like that. One time he went as far as Las Vegas to work. They had this white stuff that they used to...
Borax?
I think borax or something. It was something that they worked there, because it's a big mountains of white stuff. But he said he didn't like it. So he worked until he saved enough money he rode the train back as far as he could come back, and then he ran out of train fare. And the conductor told him he'd have to get off. Well, some kindly man bought him his fare to Los Angeles. He came back to Los Angeles and he stayed there. And then he got started in, I think he started a little restaurant or something. And my mother's not Japanese, but she was of Mexican descent, but born here in Banning, California. So I was half Mexican and half Japanese. And her folks had came from Texas, And she was born in Banning, California, and then they moved to Los Angeles, and her father had a bookstore there for many years, up until...
A bookstore where?
On Spring Street, close, just about a block away from, you know where the, where is this, the old Los Angeles church, and the Olvera Street, in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have the that big park, like, what do they call it? Did you call it the Placita or
yeah.
something? Plaza.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a plaza. Plaza.
Well, it's...
It was small, I guess, Placita. And then across was the old church, you know, the old
mm-hmm.
of the angels. And then the Olivera Street was across. And then Chinatown was right in back of there,
right.
old, the old Chinatown. Because I still remember when we visited my grandfather, they still had the queues. The old Chinese people had queues then. We used to visit my dad, my grandfather, in the summertime, and he had a bookstore there.
Did he sell Spanish language books?
All Spanish language books. And of course, after when the radio came in, people didn't do too much reading then. But he kept the bookstore anyway. He had it until. Until he moved back, he became very elderly, and he wanted to go back to Texas. I guess his roots went back to Texas. And he passed away there. So my mother and her brother, they hauled all of, well, it was mainly her, I guess, they hauled all of those books back here. And for many years, we just had them stored in the warehouse, because by that time, the warehouse was vacant. You know, my dad was out of business. And we kept the books for many years. I had a lot of them here yet. But some are real beautiful books. I have two especially nice ones, the Don Quixote and that bomb. They're great big books, a pair of them. The other pair I gave to my brother, and I think he gave them to his. And my grandfather used to have all the newspapers bound. You know, and they're kind of interesting, very interesting. I wish I could read them. My daughter, she has taken them to one fellow at work who is a Spaniard, and he enjoyed reading them because... They're dated from the 20s, you know, and early 30s, and they're different, just a whole big bound things like that. And
yeah, are they Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
La Opinion?
La Opinion, La Opinion. But they're interesting just to see the different sections, the pictorial sections, you know, of early pictures of different things, events, and things. You know, just, it's very interesting to look through those things. I just wished I could speak Spanish. We kept them mainly. I thought my kids might learn in school or something. I tried taking courses in Spanish, but I just never learned to speak. I think we did pretty good reading and writing, but people will talk to me, and they talk too fast. It isn't like reading a book, and I lose the gist of it. I don't know what they've said. I get so befuddled, I can't talk back to them.
Yeah. What was your grandfather's name?
Carmona. Romolo Carmona. And his son was Romolo Carmona Jr. My mother was Paola Carmona. And her mother was Gomez, Desideria Gomez. And that's as far back as I know. I know my father's mother's name was, what did they call? I can't think. Chaya. They called her Aunt Chaya. But that's about as much as I know, the different names. See, she had a cousin that was, I can't think of her name. But,
I wonder, was your grandfather educated? I wonder how he got interested in books.
Oh, that's interesting. He was from Chihuahua, Mexico, and they had a small... My mother said a smallish farm. But next to them was one of these big haciendas, a wealthy landowner, the type who sent their children to be educated in France. And if his son grew up with my grandfather, they became very close friends because they were neighboring, you know, people. But, and so I guess he must have had access maybe to the books, or maybe he saw all of their library and things. Well, anyway... their son was sent to be educated in France. Well, my mother said her father's folks didn't have the money. So he just went to schools around there, and he became a village teacher, school teacher, and that's what he did when he was young. And then he decided he wanted to come north. But that's how he always had a lifelong interest, I guess, in nicer things. Because when I look back, I'm kind of, I've often wondered whether it was my grandmother or my grandfather that had a love for finer things, because they had a long time a case, and it was books. I mean, it was records of Caruso and Madame Schoenenhank, of Madame Galacurti. Well, what's this other one? Tetrasini, I think, is that her name? Tetra-something. They love the concert artists, I guess. Of course, in Mexico, you know, they do love they love the classic music. Even now, it's surprising. Well, I haven't been 10 years, but they still like the classical stuff. And just some of the nicer things that they just seem... Sometimes, assuming people think of the Mexicans as just sort of beans and tortillas, you know, that's the accent. That's the average thought, I guess, when you say Mexican, beans and tortillas and tamales. But they're not all like that. And my grandfather, my sister, I had a half-sister who, she's all Mexican, and she speaks, tells me that they would try to write to their grandfather, and she said every letter would come back all corrected. And she said it was so demoralizing that they stopped writing to him because they took Spanish in school, but I guess it wasn't really too good. But he had... It's a shame that so many of those books, too, were destroyed. My mother didn't know what to do with them. And I think she did burn a lot of... Well, that always kind of hurts. You hate to think of burning anything like that. But she had no way of really getting rid of them. She didn't drive. She didn't know what to do with them. But some of the good bound books and things like that we kept. Do you read Spanish or do you speak Spanish?
I read Spanish.
You do? Oh. One of these days I'll have to get some of the books together and you'll have to do it. I might have a little book that I could give you or something. They're all boxed up and everything. I have, I think I have Don Quixote up here though, someplace, because I did wrap them up, keep them all wrapped. Because to me they're treasures, you know.
We should probably get back to Signal Hill.
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm really interested. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who said.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, the reason I guess I asked you about your parents or your dad is I wondered if you went to the Japanese school on Saturdays.
Well, I was living already out here, you know, on the west side. And they had a Japanese school up here in Signal Hill. Yes, and I did go there because Mrs. Sugiyama's husband ran the school. And we went for, maybe a year and a half, two. And we were trying to learn to read and write. And the speaking, of course, the Japanese children spoke, I guess, mostly English, I guess. But we did attend the school, yes. But I didn't really learn to read or write, and I didn't learn to speak, because later on, my dad hired Mr. Honda, and his two sons were teachers, and they used to just go to different homes and teach the children. So he used to come to our place on Saturdays, and we would all sit around the table in the afternoon and try to learn to speak Japanese. And we did that for, I guess, a year or something, but needless to say, it didn't sink in. You know, when you're not around people who are speaking the language of them, see, in my home, we spoke English, because my father being Japanese, my mother being born here, English was always spoken. We never spoke a foreign language. And that's too bad, isn't it? But we did have Mr. Honda came talk to us.
But there must have been lots of people on Signal Hill around when you lived there who only spoke Japanese.
their folks, the parents, because they didn't speak English.
Yeah.
But you know, it's surprising. When you play with all those kids, they all spoke English. They all, sometimes it was kind of like a broken, not broken, I shouldn't say broken, because very few spoke a flawless English. I mean, it was always kind of, you know, a little, you know, like you listened to them, you know, they were Japanese speaking. But because their parents, you see, they always heard this Japanese in the home. But when I was growing up, the kids I grew up with just mostly, I don't know, just were English speaking. I just don't know. The kids, I tagged along with my brothers and sisters, and those kids, the Japanese kids up there, I remember Imai's, they spoke English, the kids spoke English. And the old folks,